This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, folks, Flan dating tip. Find yourself a person, man, woman, whatever it is you're looking for. But find yourself a person that supports a notoriously bad sports franchise. I say that because if you can find a person like that, then you know that they're loyal and that they will stick with you no matter how bad your bullshit gets. Or at least that's what I thought. I don't know. Don't take advice from me. Anyway.
What is TWS podcast episode whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
Once ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn.
Take a chance with me, cause I ain't so bad. Oh man. Anyway, I'm probably not helping my cause with any of that. But yeah, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J. Dot Flan, representing the White Pan Society. And you know, as usual, I need to thank you first and foremost for taking some time out of your day, hanging out with me. Thank you for making this so far a banner year in terms of the growth of the show and the residuals and things that I'm seeing come from it. I made a conscious decision, you know, to try to be super consistent this year and try to make sure I put out a product on time, which I'm not doing this week, but we'll get to that later. But you know, consistently every week, and it seems to be paying off, and y'all are sticking with me, and you dope for that. So thank you again. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I really, really, really do appreciate it. Starting out, like, I picked that song. I'm not trying to do, like, the super, I don't know, feel bad for me or whatever type shit, but, the episode is late this week. Like, this is, it's Monday evening. I'm getting ready for Monday Night Football, trying to see if I can win this fantasy football week, and I'm just recording this. If I could be honest with everybody, first let me say, hope you enjoyed your Halloween, if that's what you into. But yeah, that's over. But you know, if I could be honest with everybody, man, I've been struggling lately, like struggling a lot, and just, you know, trying to, like, you know, depression and anxiety, man, it hits you when it hits you, and it takes you places you don't want to be, and it's a struggle, you know. And and being here in Texas, as much as I love Texas, as much as I love Austin and the you know, the community that I found here and the friends and things that I've and the relationships that I've built here, there are moments where just I'm reminded where, you know, I got no family here really, you know. And you know, like I said, when I was in the ER, you know, having to fill out those forms and having to fill out like emergency contacts and stuff, like that stuff just like hit me exceptionally hard. And I don't think I've really like 100% recovered from it, you know. And I think we all dealing with, you know, this kind of stuff. I work from home right now still 3 days out of the week. And so for those 3 days, I really don't leave the house. It's just me in here by myself and just reminding me that I'm by myself a lot. And it's been quite the struggle. And for some reason, I think this is the way a lot of us carry it. Like that song is so, I think I saw a comment when I was looking through like YouTube clips to find the music that I wanted. And it was like, it's the most joyful blues song, the most joyous blues song ever or something like that. And it's like, yeah, I think we do that. Like, you know, I know I definitely do that. I feel like if I can laugh at something, it takes the sting away from it a little bit. Like it doesn't have as much power over me if I can laugh at it. You know, if I can't think about it and find some humor in it or something like that, or try to spin the situation to something, you know, humorous, and then you know, I'm just stuck in it. So for that's it's just been playing in my head for like days now, like, and that's the way I ain't got nobody. And no disrespect to the people I do have, because I have a ton of folks. Like I have a hell of a community, and I appreciate you all like dearly, like, you know. And most of the time, you know, those people come through for me in ways that they don't even know. Like, it's not like they're here, I'm doing bad, or they, you know, I tell somebody, man, I'm struggling right now, and then somebody be like, nah, bro, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, just out of nowhere, you know, a friend or, you know, a family member or whoever, a podcast listener would just hit me up, you know, out the blue, just to, like, to let me know that there's another person out there. And that's super dope. I know that clip probably isn't helping my case as the whitest black man a lot of people know. I don't know. I'm from, you know, I think that song came out in like 85. I was born in 81. So I doubt that I remember it from it being released. But I definitely remember it back when they had like the box. I think it was called something else other places. But like in the DMV, it was called the box. It was a cable channel where you called in and you could order videos. And, you know, of course, I mean, it's nationwide, I guess. And so in order to get to a hip hop video, because my sister and I, my mom wasn't giving us no credit card or nothing, so we could call up there and order videos. So we would just watch it all day. This is pre-MTV, pre-VH1, I think, or before MTV was playing like music videos. So in order to like get to a hip hop video, you just had to sit there for like hours. It was to the point where you would memorize the number that was associated with the video. So when you sing like 6, 2, 3, 8, oh, that's my shit. Like you knew off the break, like what it was. And you would just sit there all day and just watch whatever people ordered, you know, hoping that somebody eventually ordered the thing that you wanted to see. And I remember that David Lee Roth video, man. I just remember him being like crazy and like jumping around from set to set, pretending like, you know, it was like a TV show type thing. And he was like jumping into other people's shows. And I think he had somebody like impersonating Michael Jackson. And it was crazy. And I just remember that song like vividly. And when I was setting up to like pull the music for that clip for this episode, like I've known all along that that's not a David Lee Roth song, like that he was covering pretty much like a jazz standard. Like that's a old school jazz song. And I was, when I was sitting here, like piecing the music together, it's like I could go with the David Lee Roth, or I could just like, I could be super black and like fight this stigma that I have and do like, you know, Fats Waller or Louis Armstrong or something like that. And I didn't, because those to me sounded like way too bluesy, and it was slower. And is it like all right, let's play the Louis Armstrong real quick.
Yes, I ain't got nobody, baby. And there's nobody cares for me. I'm so sad and lonely, baby.
Sad and lonely, baby.
Want somebody take a chance with me? Find me, baby, Papa. So say yes.
You gotta love the scatting, but hey, different, completely different vibe.
I ain't got nobody.
Like you can dance to your misery with the David Lee Roth version. So so that's why I went with that. That's why I went with that version. I always gotta feel these days I need to explain my intro music or whatever. But we'll get back to that that topic. In other news, I mean, some things I did today to kind of like pull me out the funk, like go back to what you love or what you really enjoy. And sometimes I have to like force myself to do it, because Like what the depression will tell me, the depression will find something about everything that I love that, you know, is a negative thought. Like, you know, I love music and I love listening to music and stuff like that. And I saw the news that, you know, that Jay-Z was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Jay-Z and LL Cool J. And if you don't know already, like, I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. Jay-Z to me is the GOAT, you know, and then I saw that he was, like, inducted, like, the person that inducted or introduced him was Dave Chappelle, and that was super dope, but immediately in my mind, it was like, man, you know, your music career didn't do anything, and you gave up, and blah, 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 and, like, it's like, listening, like, even watching it or anything like that would be reminding myself of what I didn't do, and, you know, and I had to shake myself out of that and be like, nah, it's dope, Jay-Z's dope, he deserves it, you a fan, you know. This would be a great thing to see and experience. So I sat and I watched Dave Chappelle's comments coming in, and those were, it's crazy. He had the whole video with Barack Obama, and then they had the montage. It was real dope. Like Jay-Z, I can't even explain like what Jay-Z, like just the artist, not to mention what he's grown into since then. Like just, you know, means to my childhood and my adult life. Jay-Z was like the coolest person in the world, man. Just super cool, lyrical, intelligent. Like he said things I would have to go, my mother's an English teacher, and I would have to go like ask my mom about. So I think I remember him talking about being like the ghetto Errol Flynn, and I had to ask my mom, like, who the fuck is Errol Flynn? Like, I don't know, what is this? Like, I would have to go to encyclopedias for some of his stuff, so. It was real dope. So I had to reconnect with stuff that made me happy. And hearing Jay-Z made it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and listening to his acceptance speech was, he's also like just one of the funniest people in the world to me, because he's not, like, he's like my mom, like not trying to be funny, but just funny because they're not trying to be funny. And so listening to the acceptance speech and all that was just, I don't know. It was just a moment for me. Let's do some Jay-Z to celebrate Jay-Z real quick. Hopefully this is the right button.
I was gonna kill a couple rappers, but they did it to themselves. I was gonna do it with the flow, but they did it with the sales. I was gonna 9/11 them, but they didn't need the help. And they did a good job. Them boys is talented as hell. So not only did they brick, they put a building up as well. They ran a plane into that building, and when that building fell, ran to the crash site with no mask and in hell. Toxins deep inside their lungs until both of them was filled. Blew a cloud out like an L into a jar and took a smell. Cause they heard the secondhand smoke kills. Niggas thought they was ill, found out they was ill. And it's like you know exactly how I wanted you to feel. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Get fucked too kind, kind.
Nigga!
That's one of my favorite Jay-Z joints. Not gonna dismiss the fact that LL Cool J also made it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last week or this weekend or whenever it was. I'm losing track of days. I don't know what. I know I was supposed to be. I did work today. I wasn't supposed to be at work. Anybody who needs to know, I worked today. I was, you know, I was in front of the computer. I worked. Yeah, LL made it. Let's do a little LL real quick.
I'm the best, taking out all rookies. Don't forget Oreos, eat Cool J cookies.
It's like my favorite LL line of all time. All he gets is a bar. I'm sorry, LL. All he gets is a bar, but. Yeah, so that brought me out of it. Also, you know, I love comedians and comedy and just, you know, people making jokes. And I think, like, comedy, the coolest thing I'm discovering as you know, becoming an adult, fucking almost 40. But as I get older, like, just they're the most insightful people in the world. And at times like this, when it's all of these confusing, you know, crazy hot button argumentative issues. Like, to me, comedians hit the nail on the head, and they give you a perspective on things that that is often, you know, much needed. And Roy Woods Jr. dropped a special on Comedy Central on Friday, and I made sure to catch that. I thought it was going to be on demand so I could watch it again and, like, pinpoint some things. No such luck. But yeah, he talked about, you know, like in this time, people just want to feel good. People are just doing things to feel good. And, you know, his interpretation of it is much funnier than what I'm giving you right now. But Roy Woods Jr. is incredibly hilarious. And I think he probably, at some point in his life, had the same reputation I have as being one of those, you know, white black dudes. Like, he does a lot of racial comedy, and it's still, I don't think you take it as a diss, but it still comes across as, like, not quite, like, blackish, you know. But yeah, you know, he did a special, and it was dope about people just, you know, doing things to make them feel good. And he talked about that, you know, there's people out there that try to hurt people to make themselves feel good. And there's other people that try to do things for other people to make themselves feel good. And then even in that, you know, your motives having to be pure. He told a story about, like, trying to get on a celebrity bandwagon of getting people out of jail and not going left because, you know, he realized he wanted to do something for somebody to make himself feel better. And because he was so focused on that, on, like, being the guy that did this thing for a person that he knew, he lost sight of the impact it would have on other people, on the people that, you know, maybe the crime was committed against or impacted by the crime and stuff like that. And I don't know, it was far more insightful than I'm giving you. This has been a rough month, week, day. This is like maybe the fourth or fifth time I tried to record this episode. Technical difficulties were happening. Like, it's just, once again, felt like the universe was conspiring against me. But I know that's, you know, that's all in my head. But I don't know, you know, to talk more about, like, mental health and depression, and especially, like, my struggles with it. It's, you know, like, I played this song, says, you know, I ain't got nobody, I'm sad and lonely. And that's not reality. Like, it's not the reality of the situation. I do have people. I have a lot of people. And many of the times where I'm in these ruts and I'm feeling this way, I know who I could reach out to. I know who I could, you know, message or pick up a phone and call, and who would be more than happy to hear from me and talk to me. And, you know, and I don't want to. Like, you know, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that needs you to help me feel better or needs you to help me get out of something. You know, I think I try to be more the Roy Wood Jr. guy that's trying to get out of my own head, stop worrying about me, and let me worry about you for a minute. Let me do something for somebody to remind myself that I'm a good person, and that, you know, like the song said, like, somebody come take a chance on me, because I ain't so bad. Like, and every once in a while, I got to remind myself that I ain't so bad. Like, you know, whatever it is I feel I'm lacking or whatever, like, there's a lot of good there. I think what's going on for me now, and maybe this is, like, midlife crisis. So I'm just talking through it. If you're dealing with it too, like, we can just know it's somebody else out there. But, like, I've made a lot of changes in the last 3 years. You know, in becoming a better person, getting sober, staying sober, you know, trying to dedicate myself to service and being of service and helping others and doing for others, trying to keep my side of the street clean, you know, let go of resentments, prevent myself from being in situations that create resentments, learning to forgive, learning to be quick to forgive, learning to be slow to anger, learning to make amends for wrongdoings, to look for the things that I've done wrong, and actively seek out, you know, opportunities to make amends. But, you know, one of the things, like, in the programs that I deal with, they talk about is sometimes you have to act your way into right thinking. Like, you're not going to change the way you think sometimes to change the way you act. Sometimes you have to just act differently. And then when you see, you know, how things change for you because you act differently, it's going to affect the way you think. And I think in large part, you know, a lot of the things I've been doing for the past 3 years have been in that vein. I'm not in a space where, like, all of this stuff comes naturally or all of this stuff is instinctual. It's the opposite. Like, I really, in my heart of hearts, in most moments, want to retract. I want to detach from the world. I want to go and disappear. And I was fucking amazing at it. Like, I started working on the book again, and I was writing a story about my going away party when I left the White House. I worked for the White House for like 2.5 years, and I did some dope things there. Like, I did some dope things, and built some great relationships, and this was I won't say the height of my alcoholism, but I was damn near close. I was probably still heading up the hill, but I was damn, I was getting ready to, the roller coaster was getting ready to go down. Like, I was almost, it was click, click, click. We was almost there. And they was having this golden way party for me. And I knew what it was. Everybody knew what it was. Like, is, it was the White House. Work hard, play hard. Like, they try to kill you over there. They trying to drag you through the mud and, like, treat you like a light bulb. We're going to burn you out. When you die, we're gonna hop, pop in another one and keep moving. And you always be able to say you worked here. Like, that's the way it's supposed to go. And so, yeah, I was at that, I was burnt out. And so you're going away. It's like, we're gonna live it up. Like, we're gonna do it up. And there was a lot of people that was coming out, to say thank you or to to just appreciate me as an employee. I managed the group for a little bit, so I had some good people that I managed that, wanted to say thanks for being a good, lead, and it was, I knew it was going to be a dope night, but I knew it was going to get super reckless. And I was dating my ex-wife at the time, and she wasn't a huge fan of when I got super reckless. Like, she was good with me drinking and maybe a little reckless. Everybody liked Tipsy Flan at that point. Like, Tipsy Flan was a cool dude. He actually talked when, like, Sober Flan didn't speak at all. Like, he just played the cut. I used to smoke cigars back then. I used to be in the cut with my cigars and my button-ups, even on summer days. And, that dude was one dude. He was kind of cool, but it was just a couple drinks. And then, Flan is different. He's going to talk. He may rap. He may do whatever. He's going to be flirtatious. He's going to be all kinds of things. And everybody was cool with that. But it was a thin line between that dude and then, like, reckless dude who may cry, who may run through the party, smacking all the women on the ass, telling them to tighten up. These things happen. I did cry. I felt like I rolled in a ditch, jumped out a few cars, ran across highways so people didn't know where I live. It was some crazy things happened. Woke up on steps of houses I didn't know. Woke up talking to the police. And that dude and, like, Tipsy Flan was just, they was right next to each other. And so this night, like, we knew we was going to Reckless Fan. We knew we was going to Reckless Fan. It was people that was, like, on, not on high alert, but that was their position. Like, they, and then nobody told them that was their position, but they understood the assignment. Like, they understood this is what we about to go do. We about to go celebrate these 2.5 years of this job, trying to kick this man ass, and he surviving it. And we're gonna do it up. And so I just gotta be ready, so when he falls, I can catch him. We can get him home. He can be safe. We're gonna let him be reckless in a safe environment. And so I told my ex-wife not to come. Like, don't come. Like, you don't want to be here for this. You don't want to see this. I want this. I want this opportunity to go do my thing with my people, and be celebrated and to celebrate. And so I don't want to not do it. I absolutely want to do it. I know you don't want to see that kind of stuff, and you would take away from it because I know you don't want to see that kind of stuff, so just don't come. And I think she had a friend coming from out of town that I hadn't met before, a dude, and they were supposed to be doing something. And I'm like, that's not how I want to meet, your friend, your high school friend. I know dudes, if y'all been friends for that long, he's probably very possessive you know, of you or wants a certain thing for you, and I'm not going to be seen in the correct light if he sees me that night. I know what this is going to be. So anyway, like, I left work mad early, like, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, hit up one spot with the higher ups and the big wigs, and we had beers and stuff, but we was, you know, it was thank you, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. It was a good time. Everybody was loose, but it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't there yet. We was on three. I left there. I had the strategy because I always thought I didn't have a drinking problem. I just wasn't drinking correctly. Like, I needed to get my rules down. So it was like, I bet I need to take a break. I need to go someplace. I need to get something to eat, drink some water. So I left with a few people from the first spot. We went to another spot. We did that. Of course, you know, drinks start flowing there as well. People start buying me stuff, Irish car bombs and I don't know what, the Jaeger bombs, all kinds of stuff that I don't even normally drink. But hey, if it's free, I take two. So let's go. We did that. And then it was, we going to the main event. We going to the last spot is where everybody going to be. And it got real crazy in there, like just more Jaeger. And this is how you know I was hanging out with white people, because I don't think I had ever had Jaeger in my life up until that point. And I can't tell you how much Jaeger I consumed in that night. People just buying me shit. And it was all kinds of stuff. Jaeger and Crown Royal. I had something called the Royal Flush, I think was the name of the drink. And I'm usually like a Long Island kind of dude or vodka at the time. So I was probably mixing those in there. And it was beer and it was everything. And so I'm like super lit at this point. And then in walks my ex-wife with her two friends. And it just, man, like, it was like, fuck. I told her not to come. Like, now I gotta. It's nothing worse than like being drunk, tipsy, or buzzed, and like having to pretend like you're not. Like, that's just a waste of a good. So I'm irritated. And anyway, there was a chick there, you know, a friend of my ex-wife, who, and this is what upsets me the most about a lot of people. And I don't know if I talk about it on the show before. But I mean, you've gotten to know me by now. My personality, like, I try to treat people like family. Like, I try to treat people like it's love there. Like, I care about you, whether I really know you or not, or I care about you, you know, just by affiliation. Like, you know, if they my people and you they people, then you my people, and I got you on whatever. And so, you know, this young lady had been to my apartment at that time. You know, had spent the night in my apartment while my ex-wife was there because she was going through something. You know, I seen her drunk, threw up in my trash can, stuff like that. Like, and no judgment, no nothing. Like, you know, you're going through something, do you. And, you know, like, it's all right. I'm not here to do that to you. Like, I'm just here to make sure you're safe. You needed to come talk to your friend. You needed to get some shit off your chest or whatever. Back. Like, safe space. Y'all go talk. I'm gonna be over here. I play the cut. Like, I'm not involved in this. So she's there, and I think she's sitting like right next to me, and I'm in this mode where like I'm trying to pretend like I got it together, and I don't have it together. Like, it's falling apart, and I don't know what I think I sneezed, or coughed, or burped, or something, and I threw up a little, like just in my mouth. It's gross, but this is what happened. Like, it happened to you. It's happened to you. You know it's happened to you. So let's not dwell on that. But I think I, like, you know, spit a little bit out into a napkin, like try to do it discreetly, ball the napkin up, throw it away. And then you immediately start looking around to see who saw, anybody noticed. Because I knew if they knew, you know, I was on the verge of like throwing up, that's, I'm getting cut off, end of the night, whatever. We celebrating me, man. We celebrating 2.5 years of hard labor. And, like, I innovated some shit there. I did some things that hadn't been done and, like, took things to a level. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm just trying to set the scene that, like, this should have been, for me, a great night. Even with all the, you know, the debauchery or whatever, or how wild it was getting in terms of, you know, alcohol abuse, which is not great. But the whole point was like going out with a bang. Like this is something I had invested a lot into, and people was letting me know, you know, we appreciate your investment. We saw what you did. We saw, we know who you are. We fuck with you, and we want to send you off. You know, we want to have a great time with you tonight to let you know, you know, the last 2.5 years was better because you were here, you know. So it should have been a great night for me. I'm leaving the White House. And people at the White House care this much, you know, to hang out with me and do this kind of thing. And so, yeah, in the middle of what should have been that, like I'm looking around to see if anybody saw. And I turn and I see her, and she had this look of like disgust on her face, like just pure like disgust, like the fuck is wrong with you. I don't think she said nothing to me. It was just her facial expression at the time when I looked up. And it just mixed with everything. Like I was angry that they was there in the first place. They were not supposed to be there. Already fucking up my high because I can't be, you know, as free as I want to be. I wasn't going to do nothing disrespectful to my relationship at this thing. You know, it was just she wasn't comfortable seeing me like that. She wasn't comfortable with me being like that. And I wanted to be like that night. Not that I wanted to. I wasn't planning on walking around the room telling everybody tighten up, nothing like that, or flirting or anything like that. I was just lit and just wanted to be lit freely, openly, around people who was expecting it and ready to go into protect mode. So anyway, I seen her face and it just fucked me up. And I pulled the greatest disappearing act of all time, because there were people there whose job was to keep an eye on me and make sure Flan don't disappear. And somehow, like, I ducked all of them. I got out the club. I got outside. I walked to the subway station, got on the train. Mind you, I don't remember none of this. I don't know how I got on the train, got off at the right stop, walked to my apartment, got in the door, and got to the bed. But I did, somehow. And, you know, I woke up the next day, and people was looking for me. Because I am a pro at disappearing. When you know, when I get that look or I get that feeling. Because that's exactly how I felt in that moment. Like, I ain't got nobody. Like, the people I do for, you know, going to look at me like that. You know, going to look at me with disgust. I would never do that to you. I would never, even if I felt that way. If I understood the moment, even if I didn't understand the moment, the humanity in me would have said, you know, if anything, are you okay? Can I help you? You know, you all right? You need some water? You need another napkin? You need me to help you to the bathroom? Whatever. Disgust would not have been the look on my face. Maybe once she was in the bathroom and I couldn't see no more, I'd be like, man, she's in there throwing up. You know, like, maybe, but not. And it was like, to not get that reciprocated from that person, that's how I felt in the moment. Like, I fuck the world. Like, I ain't got nobody. So I disappeared. And so that's the instinct for me. I want to detach, and I don't. And with all the stuff that's happened in the last like month or so, like that instinct, that reflex to, you know, to want to detach, to want to give up, to want to not keep tensing the muscle. Some of this still feels like tensing the muscle. Some of this still feels like I'm acting my way into right thinking. So things are happening and my reflex says, man, fuck, no, and then I gotta, nah, but slow the anger, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And I gotta do that. And yet this last month has just made it, with the amount that I've had to do that, with the amount that I've had to, like, suppress what my normal reaction would be and try to go and do what I think is the right thing or approach something the right way. I think this week I just got to feel like this is not sustainable. Like, I don't know how much longer I can continue to, you know, to be this person. I don't, because this person hasn't become me yet. And I don't know if we 3 years in, I don't know if it's ever going to become me. Like, I guess it's always a journey. You're always working toward it. You're never just there, you know. You're always a work in progress. And I got to accept that and be cool with that. But, yeah, man, there was a point during this week, we were just like, this ain't sustainable. And like, I'm almost tired of continuing to put up the fight, knowing that like it's futile. Like, eventually I'm gonna break. Eventually I'm gonna crack. And when I crack, it's gonna all fall down. And I'm like, what was all this for? What was all this fighting for? And that's not the mentality. I had a good conversation with my mom about, you know, shit that she was going through. And this is the good thing about like being of service and getting out of your head and talking to other people about what's going on with them. There's a lot of times you give advice to other people that, you know, is for you. Like, but you get to hear yourself say it out loud and you're like, shit, like I'm telling, I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I know enough to explain it to somebody else, so I should know enough to do it, to use that those very same mechanisms, or use that, you know, that very same logic for myself. And I've seen, you know, one of the things I learned from a man much smarter than myself was like the checklist. Like, you know, his thing was to be in the moment, to stay in the moment. If you're spiritual, you know, if you believe in God, like God can only be with you right now. Like, he exists in the here and the now. If you off living in the past, he ain't there. He can't be there. You know, if you off in your vision of the future because you're not smart enough to be able to predict it, so that's a fictitious place that you at. If you off in your little fictitious wonderland, he can't be there. He can't be there with you. He can be here with you right now. And you got to stay in the right now. And 99.9% of the time, if you take inventory of the right now, you're okay. And so he had like a checklist. He was like, you eat today? Because I would go in there, I'd be complaining about shit like, you know, my ex-wife or something going on with the divorce or whatever. And as soon as I would start complaining, you know, his thing would just, he would just hit me with the checklist, like not even addressing my concerns. Just, you eat today? Like, yeah, man, I ate today. Man. You got a place to stay? Yeah, I got a place to stay. Like, you know. You know where your next meal is coming from? Yeah, I got a pretty good idea. He's like, are you hot, cold? No, I'm fine right now. I'm good. He's like, you got friends? You got connection with other people? Yeah, man, I got connection with other people. He's like, well, it sounds like you okay. Sounds like your problems only exist, you know, in the past, in the future, or in somebody else's, or in your opinion of what somebody else thinks of you. And those are places you shouldn't be. Stay right here, right now. Everything's fine right here, right now. And if you address the things when they come, but you're trying to live in the future with them, it's fucking up the right now where everything is good. So just stay right here. Stay with God. Stay with, you know, your higher power, whatever you want to call it. But be present. Be present in the right now. And right now, everything is good. Right now, I'm sitting here. I'm talking to y'all. I got the patio door open. I got a breeze coming through. About to watch this Monday night football game. Probably already started, but fuck it though. I need this kicker to get less than 10 points and I can win the week. We'll see how that turns out. Man, for anybody who had Derrick Henry, I feel you. My season feels like it's over. But side note. But yeah, man, I'm glad I did this episode. I'm glad I talked it through. I don't know if I came to any conclusions or if there was any moral to the story. If anything, it's just like, if you're feeling sad and lonely, know that there's other people that feel that way too. And you don't have to be alone. Like, you know, there's probably someone out there that you can reach out to. And if you don't feel like there is, there's me. I'm here. Flan@whatistws.com. Hit me up. You know, Jared Flanagan or Flan on your other social media. You can find me, J.Flan, I think, on Twitter. You can find me wherever. And you probably be doing me a whole hell of a lot of good by talking to me. You know, let me get out of my head. Let me give some advice I probably should be taking myself. Or not say anything at all and just listen. I could do it. But, you know, none of us are alone. We all just trying to feel good, like Roy Woods Jr. said. Find a positive way to do it, hopefully. Speaking of that, if you're looking for positive ways to feel good, my man Zaya Fitness, his new website, livealphafitness.com. That's LIV, alphafitness.com. Hit him up, get your nutrition, and your fitness goals going. Dude is amazing. He's just an amazing individual. But he's also a very fit and health conscious person, and he can get you to where you want to be. Just hit him up, livealphafitness.com. If you're looking for ways to be impactful, you know, politically or community wise, ttcharities.org, ttcharities.org. Hit up the website. They always got something going on. Donate what you can, time, money, clothes, book, a like, a retweet. It all goes a long way. So please check out my man, Tavares Taylor, ttcharities.org. And then, as always, trying to send Chef Elise to Disney World. So hit up the merch at whatistws.com. It's hoodie season. It's a coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN. We'll get you 20% off your outerwear order. I'm only doing like long sleeves and hoodies and hats and mugs and blankets and shit like that. The t-shirts are coming back around. But 20% off any of that stuff for right now. Help me send Chef Elise to Disneyland, Disney World, one of them things. Speaking of Chef Elise, she was Batgirl for Halloween this year. And it went off better than I thought. When my ex-wife sent me the picture of the costume, it was, I'm a real like conservative black dad. And like, I seen the picture of the costume and the girl like had her hands on her hips. It was too hippie and shit like that for me. And I wasn't feeling it, but I saw the pictures of my daughter in the costume. It very age appropriate. She pulled it off. She did it, you know, and she was Batgirl, and it was fucking dope. Wish could have been there, but looked like a good time was had by all. So again, hope you enjoyed your Halloween. Hope you enjoying whatever's going on in your life right now. Stay in the moment. Stay in the right now. You know, stay with the sound of my voice or something. I don't know. Some shit like that. But until we speak again, be safe, be cool, be light, be easy. And know this for sure. I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. Might realize it later.
Love.